Welcome to this time together in Scripture Reflection and Prayer from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I'm Pastor Joel Kurtz. As we gather on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost, past the middle of July, we're still in summer, we're still in this long green season of time reflecting on life and faith, growing and serving in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I pray the Lord's blessing on our hearing of the Word and our taking of it to heart today. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us the Spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful, that by your word and Spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for today is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Here ends the first reading. The graduals from Romans 10. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who publish peace and bring good news of salvation. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Today's epistle is recorded in Colossians chapter 1. You, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. Here ends the epistle reading. The Holy Gospel is from Luke chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We reflect today on living welcome and contentment. Think about the best welcomes you've had in your life. Some were maybe in lavish homes or simple apartments, while some might have been outdoors. Some might have included elaborate meals, while others revolved around a cup of coffee or cold water on a hot day. Maybe some, nothing but a welcoming hug or smile, listening ears and kind words, all given at the right time. Regardless, what they were at the heart is generosity toward you and recognition of your presence, as well as your circumstance at the moment. Wouldn't you agree? Whenever I see someone sitting under the shade of our large cottonwood out back, especially on a hot day like we've been having, I try to go and introduce myself and see if they need a cold drink, or if I know the person, chat and catch up, or if I'm in a hurry, at least a wave while I'm on my way out. While Abraham and his household were living in tents by the ample shade of a grove of oak trees, he sat at the tent door in the heat of the day, looked up, and saw three strangers in the space ahead of him. Did you notice what he did right away? Yes, he ran to meet them and bowed before them in humble welcome, then begged them to stay for the treasured opportunity to welcome weary travelers in a remote place. Let them wash and rest their feet. Let them eat a bit of bread before moving on. When they said they were up for it, Abraham's excitement and generosity meter went crazy. The bit of bread he promised now has him telling Sarah to get 3 seahs of flour. That's the equivalent of 84 cups. That'll make more than a little bread, wouldn't you agree? And he tells her, knead it into dough. Make that bread. While he goes for a calf from his herd and has a servant prepare it to feed them. This isn't a quick snack, but an involved feast. And while they eat it later, Abraham's there under the tree, serving them and standing by as the host, watching and taking it all in. Then these guests speak as the Lord himself and say that Sarah, who's 90, and never had a child, finally will give birth next year at that time. And Sarah, listening in from behind the tent at the door, laughs at how preposterous it sounds. What we often forget is that at the end of the chapter, right before this, the Lord spoke to Abraham and told him that same thing. And he literally fell on his face and laughed that she'd get pregnant and he'd become a father at 100. What they'd given up on after decades of discouragement and discontentment would happen and turn their lives upside down in every way. They'd welcome their own child, Isaac, laughter they called him, and no contentment. But also, there'd be a great challenge with that son. Remember later when Abraham had to prove who he loved more, the Lord of life, or the son he gave him. And so many generations later, that descendant of Abraham and Isaac, Jesus, did come and give himself as the perfect sacrifice of welcome for us all into the Lord's holy presence. As we heard in Paul's letter to the Colossians, you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled, made at peace in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you, yes, you, present you as holy and blameless and irreproachable as you continue firmly rooted in the hope of his gospel. And then Paul goes on to say that he accepts and rejoices in his sufferings because of Christ's suffering. And he revels in Christ's going forth of grace to the outsiders, the Gentiles, welcoming them in too. As he said before, making peace by the blood of his cross, so that all might grow up into being who we are to be in Christ Jesus. Wow. Talk about welcome and contentment. Paul is content even with sufferings to live out that welcome of Jesus. I love how Paul extends that out in the 15th chapter of Romans, where he writes, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, that you live in such harmony with one another in Christ Jesus, that you glorify God the Father with one voice and welcome one another as Christ Jesus has welcomed you for the glory of God." There it is, powerfully and profoundly. Right after Jesus told the powerful story of the despised Samaritan who showed total welcome to the man left for dead, compassion for his sufferings and sacrificial care in the moment and beyond, Jesus arrives with his followers at Bethany, outside of Jerusalem. And there, Martha welcomes them into her home. And it seems she's going all out, like Abraham, wanting to do the best for her guests. But Abraham had Sarah and the servant, and she doesn't have anyone. Plus, her desire to please has kicked into overdrive, and she's distracted and panicky and running around like a chicken with her head cut off. So she snaps at Jesus and her sister Mary. "Tell her to help me. Don't you care that she's just sitting there while I'm doing all the work?" Maybe some of us can identify with Martha and say, "Yes, tell it, sister." Because we've been scurrying around trying to do all sorts of things for Jesus and his followers here at home, at work, wherever. But when Jesus says those words that puzzle and sting, they get to us like Martha. "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Working yourself up into a tizzy is another way of saying it. What you're trying to do is nice and all, but I and we don't really need all of that. What Mary is doing right now, sitting at my feet and hanging on my every word of truth and mercy and grace, is what matters most and will remain after whatever food is here and gone." Yes, it sets the priority straight, especially when we can and do lose sight of them in the moment. You see, Jesus is calling us to live his welcome, yes, but first and always to not lose sight of contentment with his word of life, his Holy Communion, table of grace, as we gather around it again as his guests today, where we see that we have all that we need in him. And then we extend his welcome of simple and profound grace in our words and actions to others, not distracted like Martha, but focused like Mary on what matters most. And maybe we'll even surprise ourselves and others as we find ourselves saying things and doing things that aren't in our nature to do, that we seize the moment and do what is required, what is necessary, because of the person, the people, the situation, the circumstance, and we live that welcome. Yes, may we continue to give thanks as we live the Lord's welcome and are content with the life he's given us, a life of grace and mercy and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this broadcast from Bethlehem Lutheran Church. Please join us some Saturday evening at 5:30 in our sanctuary at 607 North McGuire, and also on Sunday morning at 10:30. Same place. The Lord bless us and keep us in all of our doings of life as we live and extend His grace. Amen.